Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Last night's Monday Night Raw, folks, seemed to be the Raw for tag team matches and heel turns. That's kind of what the entire focus of last night's Monday Night Raw was. And some very unusual booking as well, I might add, starting with the fact that they had KO come out first for the KO show with, of course, Seth Rollins. And their guests were the Alpha Academy. And the fans clearly sided with Rollins and KO because Rollins and KO are the more, what's the right word for it? I don't know if they're more entertaining, but they're definitely more over as a team, of a likable team, than Alpha Academy, who, by the way, Chad Gable had the obvious heel of the night line when he said Ohio State was a third-rate university. I mean, that really lit the place up. So Chad Gable's doing his job. Otis did very little, if anything. And, of course, it led to a tag team match. In the grand scheme of things, you're not going to be able to get over Alpha Academy as a quality team or good champions if your entire focus is on Chad Gable loses every time and Otis is still invincible. We are really getting with the Alpha Academy, Enzo and Cass. It's the exact same situation, time and time again. Enzo gets in. He gets his ass kicked for a while. He keeps trying to make the tag. And then Cass comes in and is sort of just barrels through people. But if they're going to lose, it's Enzo who loses. It's almost the same thing with Alpha Academy. I don't know how many times Chad Gable has been pinned, but too many. Too many to really make this team believable as tag team champions. And if they really want to cement them as quality champions, they're going to have to win next week. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about a possibility of, we already know, of course, that Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins aren't winning because Kevin Owens is scheduled at WrestleMania to take on Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin. That plan hasn't changed. What may have changed is something that happened last night, and that is we are getting reports that Randy Orton could potentially be injured. And there is no word if it's a serious injury or it's just a couple of days and he'll be fine. We'll talk a little bit more about it later. But the opening segment was good, Todd. I think everybody did their job. However, when you put the two heel factions together like this, the fans are very clearly going to take a side, and I don't think it really helped Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens get over his heels when half the audience, or more than half the audience, are cheering them.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Alpha Academy last night, they come in last night. They're saying Ohio State is a third-rate state for schools and everything, and Chad Gable got tons of heat for that from the fans.
Yeah, he sure did, and at the same time, it kind of makes Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens the de facto faces, which I don't understand. I don't understand why you would do that. I don't understand why it's so important when you had the Street Profits anyway. If you're going to have the Street Profits in that three-team match next week, why didn't you have them take on Randy Orton and Matt Riddle? I mean, excuse me, why'd you have them take on Randy Orton and Matt Riddle? Why didn't you have them take on Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And then you would have left RK-Bro against Alpha Academy, and that would have been fine. It was just weird booking that you would book the two heel teams to fight each other and the two face teams to fight each other when you very clearly could have done it the other way around. So I don't know. All in all, not a bad match. All in all, decent. But, you know, nothing to write home about. Just your standard Alpha Academy match. Chad Gable's good. He's always been good. But if you're going to have him lose every match, then you know, it is what it is, folks. We then get Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, and Rhea Ripley. First, we get Becky Lynch dropping and Nikki Ash backstage. And to be honest with you, these little backstage things are doing, they're trying. This is not a bad idea, but man, some of these did not come out very well. In fact, both of them did not come out very well. Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley's didn't come out very well either. Rhea Ripley's got a serious problem, and I'm going to tell you what her problem is. I discovered it last night. Rhea Ripley's gimmick, I don't think she understands. Or if she does, the WWE doesn't. But I'm thinking it's her that doesn't, and I'll tell you why. Because while the WWE clearly writes her lines, they don't write her reactions. And Rhea Ripley's always smiling and almost laughing when she says things like total destruction and chaos and you know, that kind of stuff. She's supposed to be this large, out-of-control, violent person, and she's always laughing like, I'm only kidding, though. She has to stop that. She absolutely has to stop that. Because it just doesn't coincide with the way she's dressed, with her whole image, and also with what they want her to be. If they want her to be this quasi-goth cross between a road warrior and a dominatrix, she's got to be dead serious when she says things like, we're just going to go out there and be brutal, brutality, you know? Instead, she says, brutality, brutality. And she has a big smile on her face, like, oh, I'm only kidding. You got to knock that off. Anyway, it wasn't a bad match. It actually was a pretty good match. They gave it some time. Once again, the good guys win. Once again, Nikki Ash is pinned. Feel bad for Nikki because she went from the women's champion to an absolute jabron in this division. She may be featured in matches. I'm not saying they're burying her. They're not burying her as far as TV time is concerned, but they absolutely are burying her as far as her worth is concerned. She's always losing by distraction or something's happened, and it doesn't matter how she loses. The fact is she loses almost every single week. And that's a shame. I guess the highlight of this match is that Bianca Belair legit beat Becky Lynch with her hair. Now, Becky Lynch definitely okayed this, and Becky Lynch definitely said, go for it. Becky Lynch wanted that moment. So hats off to Becky Lynch. I never said Becky Lynch wasn't tough. We know Becky Lynch is tough. She had her face broke practically by Nia Jax's incompetent punch and nose broke and laughed about it and was, you know, mugging it up for the camera, knowing it was good for her image. And this is another one. That has to hurt. That's not fake. The welt that's on her stomach was not fake. So that's got to sting. That's got to hurt. And she knew it was coming. Those cracks that you heard, first crack that I heard, I said, well, they mic'd it up well. That's great, but that's still a legit crack. You can mic it up all you want. If you don't hit somebody reasonably hard, you ain't getting that sound. So she legit beat her pretty good in the lower torso with her hair and really left some marks. So kudos to her for knowing how to use it well, and kudos to Becky Lynch for agreeing to take it, because all that really does is heat up their feud a little bit. So if this match did anything for anybody, it was for Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair. Their match became more interesting out of this, because now we know Becky Lynch is willing to take a beating. Bianca Belair is not shy about giving it out. They could have a very physical match. So I'm sort of looking forward to that one, Todd. The rest of this was just kind of filler for that, I think.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with that last night where Bianca Belair used her long hair as a whip, sounded like a candlestick shot, a loud one.
It really did.
The one part I didn't like was when they make Nikki A.S.H., when they made her into a superhero. And that was not going well.
Yeah, well, you know, she won the belt as a superhero, but then it just went downhill. And at this stage of the game, she'd have been better off. I think they thought that one crazy, weird girl in the Federation's enough, and they have Alexa Bliss. And I think they maybe figured if we let Nikki do what she used to do, it's not that similar, but in a way it's not that far off. And maybe they just think, I don't know, it's too similar. They don't want it, but this ain't working. Quite obviously this isn't working. And I do feel sorry for Nikki, cause she's very talented. Tommaso Ciampa with brand new music, which nobody likes, goes up against Robert Roode with Dolph Ziggler, obviously, at ringside. Kind of like almost like a tag team situation, because the gimmick is, of course, tonight we're going to get a tag team match with Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa against the Dirty Dogs on NXT. It was during this match, I think, that the problem with the WWE was really, really highlighted. You have Tommaso Ciampa versus Robert Roode. Now, I could argue that several years ago, you put this match in NXT, and it's the feature match on one of their takeovers. It's going to be given 25 minutes. It's going to be awesome. It's going to bring people to their feet. And these people have not changed. What's changed is the WWE. They downplay their talent to the point where what should be a four-star match with two really good athletes going at it just turns into a mid-card four-minute match. This is a big problem with the WWE, is that they have the talent. They don't utilize it. They don't utilize it correctly. Given 15 minutes, this could have been a match that, A, introduces Tommaso Ciampa to the people who really don't watch NXT and are not really sure who he is, to say, wow, this guy. And also could have helped Robert Roode establish that he's a great wrestler. Instead, they give him 4 minutes. It's almost an undercard match. You see, this is the problem. If you use top people as undercard and give them 4 minutes, you're never going to get what you can get out of them. This is the equivalent of having bands that have huge followings and have platinum albums and say, you got 3 minutes on stage. Do your top song and get off. No one would ever do that. You say, well, we got to utilize the ones who are, you know, good. You had a good matchup here. So technically what you're doing, if you're the WWE, is you're undermining them. You're saying, we know you could go 15 minutes and put on a 4-plus star match. We don't want you to. That's not your role. Your role is, I'm Bobby Roode, a tag team guy who's so-so. And I'm going to lose in 4 minutes to Tommaso Ciampa so that we can get something going for NXT. This is what's wrong with WWE. You can just underline that match as the exact blueprint of what's wrong with the WWE. Put this in an NXT ring and give it 25 minutes, and fans would be talking about it. Against Tommaso Ciampa today, it's the same people. The underutilization of people who can really get it done, Mike, is a major problem. And this match really showed me that.
Right. Think about it. Look, I don't want to keep comparing AEW and WWE, but you look at what AEW does, and you may not know these people in AEW, but they're giving their matches time that, okay, you may not know them, but you're gonna because they give them time. They're not three-minute matches. Yeah, you're not getting everybody on that you have on your roster, but the people you are getting on, you're getting to know them because they're giving these things time, whereas three-minute matches in the WWE, because you want to get everybody on your show that you got to get on. You too have a big roster, and you're trying to get everybody on, but you're like you say, you're undermining people who are great guys, you know?
Yeah, it's a very fair comparison because you're right. AEW chooses the other route. They say you may not see everybody every week, but the people that you do see, you're actually going to see them at their best. For the most part, they do have some matches that are too short, but for the most part, AEW chooses to use the people they have and fill the time with the people they have rather than to say, how many people can we cram into 1 3-hour show? That's a big problem for the WWE, and I know they don't think it's a problem. I know that in my heart, I know that the WWE truly thinks, well, this is our blueprint. This is the way we do things. This is how we operate. We don't think it's necessary for people that aren't in an important role to have a 15, 20-minute match. Here's why it's important, WWE. You never know when someone, if given the opportunity to put on a really good match, might really catch the imagination of the fans. How do you know that if Tommaso Ciampa wasn't able to go 15 minutes with Rude, that fans would say, I really like this guy? How do you know if Rude wasn't able to go 15 minutes with him that you wouldn't say, well, you know, Robert Rude on his own, I like him. They should let him go on his own, or Dolph Ziggler, or any of these people. That's the problem. You have the talent, and then you tell them to go out there and give you 4 minutes. It's almost not even wrestling at that point. If you have 4 minutes in a wrestling match, now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I ever had 4 minutes in a wrestling match in my life. I don't think so. I truly don't think so. If I had 4 minutes, I don't know what I could do. Not much. What is it that you want me to do in 4 minutes? What kind of a psychological story do you want me to tell in 4 minutes? What kind of a feeling out do you want me to go through in 4 minutes? There's nothing to do. So all they're really doing is showing up as, well, here I am, and all I'm really here to do is promote the match on Tuesday night. That's it. There's no real match here as much as there is just an advertisement for Tuesday. That's not good enough. This is a major problem, I'm telling you, with WWE. It's not going to get solved either because they do not think it's a problem. In fact, I think they think it's strength, which is absurd. Anyway, Dana Brooke and Reggie in a mixed tag team match against Akira Tozawa and Tamina. The reason I'm laughing is because I hate to keep patting ourselves on the back, but because I know it sounds whatever, but we nail it so often that it starts to become amusing because there's always people who say, that's not true, that's not right, and then 2 weeks later it's like, yeah, we were right. I told you Tozawa was stealing the show. I told you Tozawa was going to steal this show. The most important thing in this match was not even the belt. The match was terrible. Reggie can't wrestle. And here's the thing about Reggie. He is a fantastic acrobat. He cannot wrestle. I don't know why you aren't putting him in serious training. Because, man, given his body control and stuff, there's no way you're going to convince me he couldn't be a great wrestler. But he's not now, And Tozawa is, so Tozawa's really got to go down to his level, which is not easy for Tozawa. Tamina is not a great wrestler. And really, neither is Dana Brooke. This whole thing was one big clusterfuck. But you'll notice one thing. When Dana Brooke kissed Reggie, really kissed him, which is supposed to be furthering the angle of Dana Brooke is actually now reluctantly falling for Reggie. Nobody cared. When Tamina snuka Tozawa, the whole audience roared. Why did they roar? Because of Tozawa. I have never seen anybody, and this is a big statement for me, I've never seen anybody with better body language and facial expressions than Tozawa. Tozawa could legitimately, if he spoke the language super well, which I don't know whether he does or he doesn't, Tozawa could legitimately be a comedian. He legitimately could be a comedian. There are people in the business right now who would die to have those facial expressions and body language that he has, and they do not have it. Tamina was cracking up. She was trying so hard not to laugh. You could see she was trying so hard not to laugh. And everyone is into this. They're more into Tamina and Tozawa than they are what they're supposed to be into, which is Dana Brooke and Reggie. And Mike, this is exactly what we said. We said if you were able to do this and sell it well, the things work. Reggie is not able to sell it well, and Dana Brooke's not able to sell it well. Tozawa is, and he's even making Tamina be... You see, the thing is, he is so... His expressions are so over the top that Tamina's lack of expression actually fits. And she's actually like the straight woman. You know what I'm saying? And her not laughing, her not really having much emotion, her just going through the motions is actually playing into Tozawa. If they both did it, it wouldn't work. They actually have a little comedy team going here, Mike, and it's working very well. That was a very funny moment.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. This whole thing they're doing with this whole mismatch romance with Dana Brooke and Reggie, you know what? I think if they took that angle and put it with Tamina and Tozawa, I think they would have something that would really take off.
They might be doing it. I mean, Tozawa did chase her backstage. They might actually be doing it, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. She is, I've said it before, you know, she is the straight woman in this whole thing. I mean, we know what Tamina is. She's kind of wooden. She's kind of, you know, she's supposedly this tough person and doesn't like to smile, you know, that type of person. Well, that's not Tozawa. Tozawa is what he is. I mean, I guarantee you, if he'd go back to Japan, and he could probably be a comedian in Japan because he speaks the language and all that stuff and with his stuff. But you know what? I would wager to say this, Marcus: if Tozawa spoke the language, and you took Tozawa and you put him with, say, I don't know, Dolph Ziggler, that would be comedy gold.
Yeah, or even the Alpha Academy, as we suggested. But listen, here's the thing. What makes this gold is when you look at Dana Brooke, I mean, everybody's opinion is different, but Dana Brooke obviously is a very attractive, blonde bombshell type. And I guess, you know, Reggie is some people's type. He seems whatever. He's fashionable and cool and athletic. Tamina is not the type of girl that most guys chase, and Tozawa is so much smaller than her, and there is some sort of a likability factor in it. There's some sort of a chemistry here that defies the two people. If you put this on paper and told me this is what we're going to do, I would tell you this is a terrible idea. It's not going to work. When I see it, then I'm like, this, I don't know how this is working exactly, but it works. It's just, I think it's because they're such polar opposites, and it's not really someone you would be like, you know, if you get kissed by, you know, I don't know, who's the biggest sex symbol there? Who would it be? I don't know. Maybe Carmella. Be kissed by Carmella. I could see a guy doing the, oh my God, I got kissed by Carmella. Not Tamina. But yet Tozawa is, which sort of makes him likable in a sense that he's very, you know, he's not shallow. Well, I don't know. There is something there, though, that's not there with Dana Brooke and Reggie. And I know that the WWE thought that was going to be the main thing. And I think they might be coming to the realization, Todd, that they actually do have a couple people are interested in, but it's going to be Tozawa and Tamina.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Tozawa and Tamina, Snooker there. Last night, the look on Tamina's face, Tozawa's face, both of their faces were priceless. And like you said, with Tozawa, he reminds me of an Eddie Guerrero with a facial expressions.
Yeah, that's a very, very good analogy. Yeah, yeah, he does. And Tozawa sitting there not knowing what to say to Tamina after he lost. And you know what? Tamina has never, ever been remotely interesting to me as a character until last night. Because I saw a little bit of the real Tamina. And the real Tamina was out there knowing she has to kiss him, and she's uncomfortable with it. I can tell you right now, she was uncomfortable with it. And she's looking like, okay, it's here it comes. I have to do it. And for some reason, it was sort of endearing. And I don't know why. But for me, Mike, it's really working. I hope they pursue this a little more.
Yeah, I hope they do this. I mean, look, you said it. By herself, Tamina is not, you know, she's a veteran. She's this, she's that. But by herself, she's not interesting. She simply is not interesting, you know. But like this, yeah, I mean, sure. I'll watch more of this. I'll watch more of these two together.
Yeah, me too. It could be good. Anyway, the Mysterios come out, and they lament about The Miz. And Ray's not great on the mic. Ray's never been super great on the mic anyway. He doesn't need to be. And they lament about Logan Paul a little bit, which sends The Miz out to basically say something that I thought was kind of cool. He said, yeah, you want to see the Mysterios fight. Of course you do. Yeah, you want to watch Ray and Dominic in a tag team. Of course you do. But do you really want him to win the belt? Of course you don't. And you know why you don't? Because it's more of the same old, same old. And I thought to myself, well, gee, there's a refreshing bit of honesty. It's kind of true. It's kind of true. It's just business as usual when you have these type of tag teams. Okay, cookie cutter tag team. Here we go. They'll be champions for a little while, and then somebody else will be, and then somebody else will be, and it's just, he's kind of right. Now, of course, this led to the Hurt Business coming down, and much to my surprise, with a little bit of help from The Miz, the Hurt Business actually beat Dominic and Ray. Now, I heard some people say this is a terrible idea because they're going into WrestleMania this will be terrible for them. No, no, no. This is fine. They lost because of The Miz, one of the people they're fighting at WrestleMania. That's fine. You don't have to keep them looking strong. He's fighting Logan Paul, who's not even a wrestler. So they don't have to look like world beaters. What this did, in my opinion, is it very clearly said, Ray and Dominic are a great tag team, but so are everybody in the WWE. And if you take your eye off the ball for a second, anybody can beat anybody. And the Hurt Business beat the Mysterios on the road to WrestleMania, which means anybody can beat anybody. So I actually liked this booking. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't think it made the Mysterios look weak. All it did was undermine the fact that The Miz is a very cunning person and a very calculating person, and he might be calculating enough to drag Logan Paul across the finish line in this. Not that that's going to happen, but potentially. So I thought the match was good. I thought the Hurt Business picked up a good win that they really need. So I was perfectly okay with this, Mike. Yeah, short match, decent match. But at the same time, I think it furthered at least the feud at WrestleMania.
Right. I think it did, too. And look, I say this about The Miz. This is a guy that when he decides to hang him up, and I said it about what's his name, too, over there in AEW, you know, that when The Miz decides to hang him up, that guy could actually be a hell of a manager. He could be later on what MVP is, because we know he can sell a match. We know that, you know, you put him and because of how they're playing his character, that he's cunning, that he likes to plan things out and stuff. He could actually be a very good manager if he wanted to.
Oh, there's no question about that. There's no question about that. We then get to Almos against Dominik Dijakovic. Folks, again, this underlines what the problem is with the WWE. You know, I once knew a guy who was a big video game player, and he must have had 1,000 video games. And I swear he would buy a video game, play it for 10 minutes, say, well, I don't have time to play it right now. And then the next time he was at the store, he'd buy two more. And that video game would just stay buried. And then 2 years would go by, and he'd call me up and say, oh, you know that video game I bought 2 years ago? That's awesome. I just really started playing, and I'm like, Jesus, you bought 50 games since then. Well, that's what the WWE reminds me of. Here's Dominik Dijakovic. He's putting on at least 4-star matches with Keith Lee over in NXT. He's exactly what you say you want. 6'9", very agile, very capable wrestler. And you think your best utilization of him is to put him in a squash match where he lasts 30 seconds and gets no offense at all, zero. And then you just put him back on the shelf like that video game and you say, one of these days. Problem with the WWE. Now, I know people will say, well, at least he got used. It's better than sitting in catering. No, actually, it's not. Not for a guy like that, it's not. You had 100 guys you could have trudged out there to have almost trample, even if you wanted to find a big guy. I'm sure there's a big guy on the indie scene somewhere in Ohio who would have been more than happy to get squashed by Almos. But when you use a guy like Dominik Dijakovic, who could potentially be a contender for any belt, and you put him through that, his career is over. It's completely 100% over. Now I hear, AJ lost in a few minutes, but AJ's already established. That's the thing. He can lose and still be okay. He's still AJ Styles. Dominik Dijakovic was never established. And to literally do this with a guy that the minute he loses, his career is probably done. Almost is a one-trick pony right now. I hope he can do more things. I hope that he gets better. But I think The Undertaker is wrong when he says this could be the new Andre the Giant, because Andre the Giant, the only reason Andre the Giant stuck around so long is on the main stage, not on the indie shows, but on the main stage, he never lost. He lost to Hogan. Yeah, he lost down south a few times, and he lost here and there, but we never heard about it. It wasn't really televised, and wrestling wasn't like it used to be now, where you got all the results and everything and all the video. So when the WWE said the undefeated, we peaked it. When Almos loses on national television or at a pay-per-view, I don't know what's next for him. Not much. And you're going to throw away Dominik Dijakovic on this. Who's the better wrestler? who's the person who could probably give you more for a guy that size? Again, if it's a small guy like, you know, whoever, then you say, well, okay. You can always get away with saying, well, the size difference is just way too much for him. I don't care how good of a wrestler he is. This is a 6'9", close to 300-pound guy. You didn't let him get in one shot. Not one. I don't see him coming back from this, Todd. I think this is a major mistake in how you use Dominik Dijakovic.
I think you're absolutely right, though. Like you said, I would not split him up with Dijakovic with his tag team partner, Mace. And I would have kept him as a tag team with them, not separate him on two different shows in the first place.
Yeah, and if they were going to, Mike, you got to let them have a little bit of a run. I mean, these guys they're not enhancement talent. They're being used as it.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about it. You look at both of those two guys, they're bigger guys. Mason Tivol are bigger guys. And that's isn't that what you say you want? I mean, at least you could have let him. Yeah, you want what's his name to win that match. All right, fine, I get that. You want him. You want to keep him strong until you don't want him strong, right?
Right.
But this guy Dominik Dijakovic. We've seen those matches where, I mean. They were very snappy, very fast-paced. For those two big guys, Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee, to wrestle those 20-minute matches, but they didn't feel like 20-minute matches because they were going at it really, really fast and snappy and move after move and, you know, that type of thing. You could have.
Yeah, and you know, the old adage, Mike, the old adage is if you're going to beat somebody, what did that victory mean? Let's just say you let Dijakovic go on a 3 or 4 week run where he was beating enhancement talent or minor guys in the Federation. And you say, wow, Dijakovic's coming into his own here. Dijakovic's, you know, starting to really show what he can do. And then you put him against Almost and he loses in a 6 or 8 minute match where he gets a little bit of offense but loses, you say, wow, okay, Almost beat Dijakovic. Now nobody says that. It's just like, oh, you might as well have beat up a punching bag. You might as well have beat up a stuffed animal. It gained almost nothing because you didn't use Dijakovic in any way, shape, or form. So it didn't gain almost anything. And it certainly doesn't gain Dijakovic anything. So now you come out of a situation where one guy looks no better, and the other guy looks way worse. So you've accomplished nothing, Mike, really. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. And look, even though Dijakovic is 6'9 and nearing 300 pounds, guy can move. You know, the guy has a little bit of quickness about him. You could have used him as a guy that, in this match, I mean, we know what he's 7'4". He's 400 pounds. He can move some, but he can't move like Dijakovic, right? Dijakovic, if you use him right in that match, yeah, have Almost won the match, but you could have used him to the point of having him be the speed guy, having him be the guy that proves that you can, you know, you can get him going. If you can get, you know, you can get Almost going and tire him out, you might have a chance, right?
Yeah, look, to me, if you said to me, we're trying to promote Almost for a match at WrestleMania and we need to get him, you know, solidified, pick R-Truth. Backstage, let R-Truth do something dumb and bump into Almost or something, and Almost, being a bully, says, we'll see you out in the ring. To which he literally manhandles and destroys R-Truth. Maybe to the point they take him out on a stretcher so that the announcers can say, was that really necessary? did almost really have to do that to R-Truth. Everybody likes R-Truth. So now everybody be mad at almost and be waiting for the guy who's going to take him on at WrestleMania. That's how you get heat. You don't get heat beating Dijakovic because Dijakovic has not been built to be anything. So if you didn't beat anything, it psychologically does not work. Plus, it tosses Dijakovic on the trash bin, which you don't want to do with a guy his size and his skill level. This was just bad on all levels. There is nothing good about it. Nothing came of this that was good. And that's a shame. Street Profits versus RK-Bro. This is where the problem occurs. I don't know. A lot of people said the match ended early, that Randy Orton, after that splash, was supposed to kick out. But what I saw was Dawkins push his foot off the ropes. Randy Orton did put his foot on the ropes. But people are saying, no, they ended it early. You can tell Randy Orton was hurt. He rolled toward the ropes. Well, I don't know. I thought he rolled toward the ropes because he was supposed to put his foot on the ropes, and he wasn't close enough to the ropes. But maybe somebody signaled that he was hurt. I don't know, because what I'm hearing is he may have gotten injured during that spot. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see. I did not see that. I thought Orton did exactly what he's supposed to do. I hit with the splash, rolled toward the ropes where he could get his foot on it, and Dawkins obviously knew the spot was coming because he pushed his foot off the ropes. So I thought, yeah, the match went exactly as planned. But what I'm hearing this morning is, no, it didn't. It ended early, and Orton may potentially be hurt. So I don't know, Mike. I didn't see that, but apparently that's the case.
Right, and think about this. That whole series, it was great psychology by Orton, because think about it. What's his name? Hits the splash, right? And we saw how he reacted after he hit it. He didn't end up on him, he couldn't get on him in time,
right,
which allowed Orton to do the roll toward the ropes and get his foot on the ropes. So all in all, it was a pretty good match with the psychology of it all, and I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. Yeah, he may be hurt. I don't know. We don't know yet. But that match was a pretty good match in my mind.
It was. And if the match ended early, I'd like to know how Dawkins knew, because he was outside the ring. Who told Dawkins to push his foot off the ropes because he might be hurt? It wasn't the ref, because the referee was in the ring. I don't know. I have no idea. This is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the match ended early because Orton was hurt. You can't prove it by me. It looked like that was the ending it was supposed to be to me. But Todd, if he is hurt and it's serious enough to miss next week or even WrestleMania, that's not good for the Street Profits. I'm telling you, that's not going to bode well for the Street Profits.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, if Orton injured himself last night and it was cut short, That means Orton was injured, and as I heard sources, he was carried out by EMT staff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to have to wait and see on this one, because to me, that match ended the way I thought it was booked to end. It sure looked that way. Sure looked that way. Damian Priest versus Finn Balor. Well, we called this, didn't we? We said Damian Priest was obviously going to turn heel. It wasn't working. His face thing wasn't working. Nobody was cheering for him. WWE did it to themselves because they were cheering for him when he was sort of the happy-go-lucky tough guy. When he became this Jekyll and Hyde thing, it didn't work. All of his promos sounded like heels anyway. The whole basis of it sounded like a heel. It doesn't work. This is going to set up, in my opinion, it's going to set up Demon Finn Balor versus the evil side of Damian Priest for WrestleMania. And what can I say? Do I agree with Finn Balor being the U.S. champion? No, I don't. I don't think so. But People say, oh, same moves. Well, talk about the same moves. Every single match, Finn Balor's exact same five moves over and over again. There's nothing different about Finn Balor, nothing at all. Whether you like those five moves or not, still the same five moves. Match was not good. Damian Priest did not look like, again, he sort of looked like, I don't feel like doing this. At least he did do the heel turn pretty well. I don't know what to tell you. Is Finn Balor a step up from Damian Priest with the U.S. belt? I'm going to say no. And the reason I'm going to say no is at least the belt was helping to make Damian Priest somebody. Finn Balor already is somebody. Regardless of whether I like him or not, the fans like him. He obviously is a name, and he doesn't really need the belt. Damian Priest probably does. So, yeah, I'd rather see a newer guy or, you know, in. Not necessarily a younger guy. I don't think he's any old. I don't think he's any younger than Finn. In fact, he may be older. But a newer guy who may benefit by having that belt. You know, Finn Balor's U.S. champion doesn't thrill me. I was a little surprised it happened. I thought Damian Priest was going to freak out, get disqualified, and then Finn Balor was going to challenge him again at WrestleMania as the Demon. That didn't happen, Mike, but I still think the Demon against the evil side of Damian Priest is coming.
I think so, too, and that's the thing. I mean that's the thing, and you're right. You know, Finn, they may be about, I'm going to say Finn's a little bit younger than because I know exactly how old. He's 39 years old. He's pushing, Damian Priest is pushing up on AJ Styles. You know, AJ Styles is in his 40s. He's about to turn 40, is Damian Priest. So, you may think, well, why is they giving it? Because really, you know, Finn Balor doesn't really move the, he's somebody, but he doesn't move he doesn't move the needle a lot. That's the problem, you know?
Yeah, I don't think he does either. Not that Damian Priest did necessarily. I agree 100% with Damian Priest's heel turn. He needed it. But I don't know if he needed to lose the belt before WrestleMania. Maybe you just keep it on him till WrestleMania and have this match be a disqualification victory for Finn, Todd.
You're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said with Damian Priest, like he needed the heel turn, you know. I would have kept him doing the old gimmick, doing the invisible arrow and the flames coming out that says Damian Priest in it. He was getting over with that gimmick. With this gimmick he was doing, he was not getting over.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you were going to book this, how about you just book it that Damian Priest gets frustrated, he can't beat Finn Balor. The evil side of him comes out. He does everything he did. He throws him through a table, beats him with a chair, whatever he's got to do. Really freaks out. Only this time, when he's confronted backstage, instead of saying, oh, man, I let my temper, it's a bad problem. Only this time maybe say, you know, this is what was missing all along. If I'm going to keep these belts and I'm going to be the champion, I gotta embrace that dark side. And I don't care what these fans think anymore. I've been trying to keep it in check for them. I've been trying to keep myself in check so that they respect me. Well, they still don't respect me. They booed me out of the building. So screw them. This is the new Damian Priest. This is who I am. If you're going to step up to me, you better expect this. Because I'm no longer trying to suppress the dark side. I'm actually encouraging it. That way, Finn Balor could say, well, I have a dark side too. And then you have the WrestleMania buildup. This way, you're still going to do it. I know you're still going to do it, but it doesn't have as much impact, Mike.
Right. And think about this. Look at all, just in general, look at all the names in WWE. Minus somebody like a Riddle who's in his early 30s, whatever. But Randy Orton, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, all these guys are either in their 40s or almost there within a year, you know. And you look at AEW and you look at the number of younger talented people in AEW that could actually carry the team, you know, carry the ball for AEW, you know, for the next 7, 8, 10 years. Where are those younger talents in the WWE? Where are they?
Yeah, they're not really. I mean, you got Austin Theory, who had a very interesting exchange with Vince McMahon. Something's going to happen on the Pat McAfee show. I no longer think it's going to be Pat McAfee against I think it might be Austin Theory against Pat McAfee or something. Because obviously he told Vince, I could be there in case Pat McAfee does something to you, jumps on you. And Vince is like, oh, you're going to pull him off. Yeah, yeah. You know, well, it's not that kind of show. To which Austin Theory says, it could be. So this Thursday, that'll be very interesting to see what happens. Now let's get to the main event, which is Edge calling out someone to challenge him, and it turns out it's AJ Styles. Only the WWE could ruin this. This is a match all the fans wanted. This is a match AJ wanted. This is a match Edge wanted. And for some unknown reason, the same company that will put Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins in a match with Alpha Academy, that will put RK-Bro in a match with the Street Profits, say, oh, we can't have one good guy face another good guy. What? Or one bad guy face another bad guy. What? There was no reason to turn Edge heel. It's dumb. It makes no sense. And it gives away the ending to the match because now you know AJ's going to win. All you had to do was have AJ and Edge say, we've wanted this match forever. And we're friends. But I'm telling you this right now. This could be my last WrestleMania match, and I ain't going out losing. And AJ Styles could have reiterated, well, I've really been shortchanged at WrestleMania. I've never had my big, big match. This is it. And if you think I'm losing this match, you're wrong. No one would really know who was going to win. You had a setup where you literally had the fans chomping at the bit saying, oh, man, this could go either way. This is going to be great. And you had to go and show your hand. You had to go and have, for no reason at all, illogical and completely asinine heel turn. Please explain his motivation for turning heel. He didn't think anybody was going to come out to challenge him. He already knew somebody would. He was calling for somebody. It makes no sense. Keep them both faces and have a really good face versus face. We don't know who's going to win 20-minute WrestleMania match that we could care about. As big of an AJ Styles fan as I am, as soon as Edge started beating the hell out of him with the chairs and everything else, I said, well, then you've given away the ending. AJ Styles is not taking that kind of a beating and losing at WrestleMania. So now you've given away the end of the WrestleMania match. Would it not have been better to just have them both be faces and at the end of the WrestleMania match, shake hands and say, great match, and move on, regardless of who won? This doesn't do Edge any good. If Edge wants to turn heel at WrestleMania then. Turn heel in the middle of the WrestleMania match. Then at least it makes some sense if Edge says, you know, more fans were cheering AJ and it pissed me off, or quite obviously AJ was getting the better of him and it pissed him off. Whatever it happened to be that pissed him off, at least you'd say, well, okay, there is some logic to why he did what he did. There's no logic at all to this. And because there's no logic at all, Mike, it seemed phony. And it, in my opinion, gave away the end of the match.
Yeah, it did give away the end of the match. I mean, you could have played this whole thing up and then think about it. If you wanted him as a heel anyway, if you wanted Edge as a heel anyway, even though I think it's a mistake because the fans were still having their strong reaction to him. They were still loving Edge as you know, as a face, but okay, fine, whatever. If you wanted him to be a heel, you could have hit it. You could have hit it well. You could have hit it better because, I mean, like you said, have him turn during the WrestleMania match, you know, do a few underhanded things here and there to try and get the thing. And then if when he doesn't get the win, well, there you go. You know, and that's the thing.
Yep.
They do this all the freaking time, the WWE.
Yeah, they fix what ain't broke. And this was not broke, Mike. This was fine. Attitude should have been like, man, the one person I was hoping and praying would come through that curtain came through that curtain. This is going to be the greatest WrestleMania match of my career. And AJ could say the same thing. This is the one person I've always wanted to face. This is going to be the person to give me my ultimate test, and I can't wait. Why can't we just have that? If the WWE is going to say you can't have faces against faces, you just had RK-Bro against the Street Profits. You just had Finn Balor against Damian Priest. Okay, he turned afterwards, but he didn't turn before. That was face versus face. God almighty, that's annoying when they do that. By the way, I just got word AEW has released Chavo Guerrero Jr. Chavo Guerrero Jr. no longer with AEW. I have no idea what the details are. Chavo says he wasn't even informed he was being fired. He was fired. He found out because he's no longer on the roster. So that's interesting. Todd, this did not need to be a heel turn by Edge at all to make this match interesting. In fact, I think it made it less interesting.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was just a ridiculous decision right there on part of the WWE to turn Edge heel in this promo. They could have done it at WrestleMania in the middle of the match with AJ Styles. They should have waited to that until WrestleMania to earn them their little feud right there in that match. But this is how typical WWE
is. It would have meant a lot more. It would have meant a lot more. No question. So with that in mind, some of the show entertained me. Some of the show seemed kind of blah. I know there was a championship title change, but all in all, I felt the show was again just sort of blah. It didn't really do much for me. I liked the Tozawa and Tamina Snuka part. Some of the matches were okay. There were a few little branches on the trees. It's not an F show. It's not even a D show, but it's not great. I'm going to go with C-, Mike. I think it was just I don't think they needed the Edge heel turn. And I think that they could have handled the Street Profits against Alpha Academy, and they could have had KO and Seth against the RK-Bro and not had to do the heel versus heel and face versus face. So questionable booking. I'm on C-.
I got to go C- as well. And if they don't capitalize on the Tamina Tozawa thing, they're idiots. I mean, really, you know.
I agree. They're very likable. There's a chemistry there. I don't know how. That's the thing that gets me. I don't know how these two could have chemistry. No one's ever had chemistry with Tamina Snuka. Now somebody does. Amazing. Anyway, Todd, what's your rating this week?
I'm going to give it a C- as well.
Yeah, look, there's no reason for Edge to have turned heel. I'd rather he wouldn't. There was some questionable booking, decent matches, but the WWE's got to do better. And they got to start using the toys they have, okay? You have some great talent. And if you're just going to use them as enhancement talent and garbage throwaway two-minute, three-minute matches that mean nothing, then you know what? They mean nothing. That's the problem. You can't ask us to root for or boo Bobby Roode. He means nothing. You can't ask us to root for or boo Dijakovic. He means nothing because you made him mean nothing. We didn't. You did. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.